Okay. Dr. Janet Turen is an associate professor in the Department of Healthcare Organization and Policy in the Maternal and Child Health Concentration of the School of Public Health at the University of Alabama at Birmingham. Her research focuses on the effects of stigma, discrimination, and violence on maternal, child, and reproductive health in low-resource settings. She has carried out mixed methods research in sub-Saharan Africa, the Middle East, Europe, and the United States. Today she's going to be talking to us about stigma and lack of disclosure as barriers to use of maternity and HIV services by HIV-positive pregnant women in rural Kenya.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon. Thanks for staying around, everybody. Okay, I'll just move right into it. My university has asked me to disclose that I have a consultancy arrangement with the Futures Group International, so I'm disclosing that. The other authors on this presentation are Dr. Marciana Onono and Dr. Craig Cohen and Dr. Elizabeth Bukusi. They're from the Kenya Medical Research Institute and UCSF. So today I'm going to be talking about stigma. I know that there's been a lot of recognition in the past, 10 to 15 years, of the important role that stigma plays in health in a lot of areas. And just as a very sort of general definition, we're talking about attributes or behaviors that can cause individuals to lose social value. And so how can stigma affect health? Again, there's been a growing body of research, not only in the HIV field, but in the field of mental health and obesity and many areas, looking at how stigma can affect health. And so we know that stigma adversely affects both the quality of life and also the physical and mental health of persons that have these stigmatized conditions or in these stigmatized groups. Importantly, we also know that stigma and fears of stigma make people less likely to utilize needed health services, make them stay away from clinics and providers when they need services. And finally, stigma can also lead to discrimination and violence, and these can obviously have adverse consequences for health. Also, the research that's been, going on has determined that stigma is a pretty multifaceted concept. It has a lot of different dimensions that can affect people and health in different ways. So there's a concept of anticipated stigma. Again, those fears of stigma. What would happen if people find out about your status or condition? There's also a concept of normative stigma, or people's perceptions about community norms and what happens to people out in the community when other people find out about their status. Experienced or enacted stigma are terms that people use to talk about actual, incidents of abuse or discrimination that occur. And finally, another aspect that I'm going to get back to later is internalized or self-stigma. And so that's when people internalize those negative judgments and attitudes that other people have in the community and start feeling very bad about themselves because of their condition. So today I'm going to talk about the specific case of HIV-related stigma experienced by pregnant women in Kenya. It's where I've been working for the past several years. And I just want to point out the special vulnerability of HIV-positive pregnant and childbearing women. So in a lot of these settings, and we've been hearing about today, South Africa, Nigeria, the pregnant woman is often the very first person in the family to be tested for HIV because of her contact with the antenatal clinic. And so then she's really vulnerable to blame for bringing HIV into the family. Other people in the family may be positive, but, she's the first one. Also, in many settings, of course, there are gender norms and relations that strongly penalize women for promiscuity, which is often assumed of persons living with HIV. And then, of course, there are the negative judgments about HIV-positive women having babies and bringing, putting that child at risk. And, of course, then there is the real issue of risk to the unborn, newborn child. And the fact, another risk point is infant feeding, where if HIV-infected women are asked to have different breastfeeding practices than other people in the community, if they're exclusively breastfeeding when everybody else is doing mixed feeding, that can cause unwanted disclosure. And finally, a lot of these women are just in positions of socioeconomic vulnerability. So I've been doing this work in a collaboration with a group called Family AIDS Care and Education Services, or FACES. And this is a program that is run by the Kenya Medical Research Institute and University of California, San Francisco. And they're largely operating in Nyanza Province, Kenya, which is the province of Kenya that has the highest HIV prevalence in the country. It's around 15% of adults of reproductive age, which is twice the national average. And in several of the districts where FACES work, we're talking about more like prevalences of 20 or even up to 30%. This is a PEPFAR-funded program. They do services, training, research, and they work closely with the Kenyan Ministry of Health to support existing government health facilities. So the research that I'm going to be talking about today is part of the MAMAS study, which is the Maternity in Migori and AIDS Stigma Study. And this was a program of research that has been supported by the National Institutes of Mental Health, where we're really trying to understand and investigate the relationships between women's perceptions and actual experiences of stigma around HIV and their use of essential health services. This work was done in rural Nyanza province, where our collaborators felt these issues were of the utmost urgency. And this is actually, it's a mixed method study. We have several quantitative and qualitative components. Today I'm going to be talking mainly about the quantitative prospective study, some of those results. So we started out at nine different rural antenatal care clinics. We recruited pregnant women who did not know their current HIV status. So they either had never been tested or they got a negative test more than 3 months ago. And we recruited them before their ANC visit and interviewed them. After the interview, they went in and were offered HIV testing, which they either accepted or refused. And then we also had their permission to find out their results afterwards. And then we selected a subsample for long-term follow-up during later in pregnancy and after the birth. And basically, we selected all the women who tested positive and a random sample of the women who tested negative or who had still unknown status. And so we followed these women until we interviewed them again at 6 weeks after the birth, and we were able to locate around 70% of them at that time. There was considerable migration, loss to follow-up, but still we were pretty happy that we could find 70% of them. We had three different quantitative measures of HIV-related stigma that we were able to use in the research. And these are all measures that were developed and validated in various settings in sub-Saharan Africa. So we had a scale of anticipated stigma that asked women about their expected consequences if they were to test HIV positive and other people found out about their status, what do they think would happen? We also had a scale of perceived community stigma, that women's perceptions of what's happening out in the community to people who are living with HIV. And finally, for those women in our sample who did end up testing positive, we were able to ask them about their actual experiences of both enacted stigma and the self-stigma. So these were all multi-item scales that we were able to include in our research. This just gives you a little bit of an overview of the timing of variable measurement. I mean, we at baseline, we assessed all the sociodemographics, their anticipations of stigma, their perceptions of stigma in the community, knowledge of HIV, distance, many, many things we assessed at baseline. Then, in the postpartum follow-up, we were actually able to look at experience, stigma, depression, disclosure, intimate partner violence, and a range of variables. And finally, for the women who did test positive, we followed them for about a year, and from their medical records, we were able to determine whether they actually enrolled in HIV care and treatment. And in this setup in Kenya where we're working, the goal is to get all HIV-positive pregnant women enrolled in HIV care and treatment, regardless of their CD4 count or eligibility for ART. They still need to be in a care and treatment program. So you can see here that at baseline, rates of anticipated HIV stigma among pregnant women were high. Women anticipated a range of negative things that might happen to them if they tested positive. And I've starred two items that have to do with the male partner, as those ended up being most important in some of our later analyses. And we've already done quite a bit of analyses and looking at the results. These are some of the results that we've already published that are among all women, not just HIV-infected women. So we found that women who anticipated male partner stigma were more than twice as likely to refuse HIV testing after adjusting for a variety of other important predictors of test refusal. We also found that, again, among all women, women who had higher perceptions of HIV-related stigma at baseline were much less likely to deliver their baby in a health facility with a skilled provider, again, after adjusting for a lot of other important factors. So this is showing us that, you know, quantitatively that, you know, stigma has important, you know, effects on service utilization. Now, what I wanted to focus on a little bit today is the group of women in our sample who were infected with HIV. And so looking at their service utilization. So when we interviewed them after the birth, 72% reported that they did take some medications for prevention of mother-to-child transmission while they were pregnant. When we looked, this is from the medical records, only 54% had actually enrolled in an HIV care and treatment program. And finally, around 33% gave birth with a skilled attendant in a health facility. Now, one of the factors that we've been focusing on is really lack of disclosure. This is a behavioral consequence of stigma and potentially a key pathway for the effects of stigma on health. So people fear, they see stigma out there, they don't want to disclose to people in their environment, and that makes it hard for them to use services. So the variable that I'm looking at today is one where we actually asked who knows about your HIV status, because we wanted to capture both wanted and unwanted disclosure. And so what we found is that among our HIV-positive women, about only 59% said that anyone else knew about their HIV-positive status. And these are women who tested positive during pregnancy, they've gone through pregnancy, the birth, the baby's now 6 weeks old, and still, you know, 40%, only 40% had 40% had not told anyone. And only 31% said that their male partner actually knew about their HIV positive status. And here you can just see how women's anticipations of male partner stigma at baseline are very strongly related to whether they disclosed to their male partner. Women who anticipated and feared stigma did not disclose, not surprisingly. The other thing now I want to talk about, so when we look at these health behaviors and how they're related to disclosure, so those women who actually had disclosed to someone were 3.5 times more likely to report having using drugs for PMTCT than women who had not disclosed to anyone. For giving birth in a health facility, those women who had disclosed 5.1 times more likely to have delivered in a health facility than women who had not disclosed. And here you can just kind of see graphically the difference in disclosure. You can see that for women who had disclosed, 50% gave birth in a health facility. That's much higher than even the HIV negative women. But then for those women who had not disclosed to anyone, only 15% gave birth in a health facility. The last bit I want to talk about is experienced and self-stigma. And we found that women actually reported few actual experiences of discrimination from the community, but internalized stigma was very common. Around 50% of women said that they, you know, they rated somehow on our scale of self-stigma. And those women who had high levels of self-stigma were much less likely to have enrolled in HIV care and treatment. And we've done some multivariate analyses. We're still working on this, but you can see that even after adjusting for many other factors that might be related to enrolling in HIV care and treatment, self-stigma still comes out as a very important factor, even after controlling for depression, which is also kind of a related concept to self-stigma. So finally, even in a study where HIV infection among pregnant women is very common, you know, 1 in 5 pregnant women is infected, HIV-related stigma and associated lack of disclosure are important barriers to women using life-saving maternity and HIV services. And we really feel that maternity and HIV services need to incorporate specific HIV-related stigma reduction and coping strategies in order to help these women get the services that they need. Thank you very much.